We have a guest speaker. As you guys know, we support our missionaries around the world, and one of them is in Brazil, Fortaleza. There, Gesundheit. Anyway, the missionary, he's a missionary and a pastor. His name is Alex Piagetti. He's from the Calvary Chapel of Fortaleza. Anyway, please welcome him with a warm Calvary Chapel. Welcome.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're here to learn from you, to glorify your name, and just to be in your presence, Lord, to be more like you, Lord. We need fellowship. We need to abide in you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Your mercies that are new every day in our lives, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, use me to glorify your name today. Speak through me, Lord. And may your will be done, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. First thing first, I'm going to set my timer before I get shot. I was warned that if I go over 35 minutes, I'm getting shot. That would not be a bad thing at all, because be doing me a favor. You know what I'm saying? That's our goal, to be in heaven. I'm saved, so it's all good. But I do want to respect the time and the way things work here. So bam, timer. Okay, that goes here. My name is Alexander Piagetti, and I'm up here by the grace of God and by His grace only. This is very complicated for me because I have to teach the word, share my testimony, and tell you what's happening in Brazil. That's a whole lot, especially when you have issues like me. Squirrel, you guys know about Squirrel? Grandchildren, the movie, ADD, baby. So pray for me. Pray for me. Those are just one of my issues. Just those are the small issues, okay? I got saved in prison, right? Because I was a good kid. I always went to school, never jaywalked. I got sentenced to 15 years in prison in Florida. I got sentenced to drug trafficking, conspiracy to traffic cocaine. That was just, you know, product of sin. Sin is just our issue, and what we do is the product of the sin. I got saved trying to be slick. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I wasn't scared of prison. My whole life I was in and out of jail. So going to prison was just like, oh well, they got me now. Finally, those suckers. And that was my attitude. They finally got me. After all these years in crime, they got me. So I get to prison and I just want to learn the system so I could beat it. That was my whole goal. I got to beat the system here. So what happens is, trying to beat the system, you could be slick and you could like fool everybody. You really can, but you can't fool God. And what happened was, trying to get out of my cell, I signed up to go to church because that was the only out of my cell at that time. I had been down 6 months. And I said, I'll get out of my cell. I end up signing up to go to church. When I get to church, I said, I don't do church. I'm going back to my cell. The officer said, boy, you're going to confinement. You better get in church. I said, I don't do church. And he goes, well, are you going to do confinement? Me being a negotiator, I asked the officer, how much time in confinement? He tells me a month. I said, let's do 2 weeks. He goes, boy, you're going to go down for 2 months. I said, let's go to church. Yeah, I'm not dumb. You know, I push the limits, but I know when to stop. So here we are in church, crazy church, because I was born and raised Catholic, which means voodoo was involved, all sorts of stuff. Brazilians, oh gosh. And I really didn't know what church was all about. What ended up happening, I heard that God loved me. Right, and that he sent his son to die for my sins. And I knew I was going to hell. That I knew very clearly. My plan was to escape prison, to get down to Brazil and party till I die. That was my plan, you know. But I never knew about God's love. The gospel, the good news, right, is the cross. That God paid the price for us. And without him, we will fall apart like that song. We will totally fall apart. He did it all. There's nothing that we could do to meet being in the presence of God. There's nothing. Our good deeds are as on filthy rags unto the Lord, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6. Today we will be reading out of John chapter 15. Oh, by the way, I got saved. I did get saved. I gave my life to Jesus. It wasn't there at that moment. I told you, squirrel. I get saved. I gave my life to the Lord and it was transformed me. I did it in my cell. When I went up to my cell, I said, Lord, I'm 23 years old. My whole life I've been in prison. in and out, you know, since I was 18, they started tagging me, probation, all sorts of programs, psychologists, they thought I was crazy. I drove the psychologist crazy, he wanted to hit me. I was bad, I was manipulating, and what ended up happening, I asked Jesus into my life. I said, change me. I don't know how to live. I don't know anything about life. I don't know nada. I'm in prison. I'm 23 and I need help. And he helps. He helps. He brought me out of prison after 6.5 years. I asked God for a wife. He gave me a wife. He gave me so much more than I ever wanted or expected. All I wanted when I got out of prison was a little apartment so I could work and keep out of trouble. That's all I wanted. But I understood sin very clearly. God taught me that I cannot be with a woman unless I get married. That's one of the things that I argued with God for 6 months, because I didn't understand what fornication was. I have a 9th grade education, okay? I took my GED. I'm not the brightest, okay, in that sense. So when I'm reading the Bible and I said, fornication, what is fornication? So I asked one of my friends and he tells me sex out of marriage. I said, you got to be kidding me. Come on, God cannot. No. That's not going to work. I didn't believe him. So I go to another guy, hey, what does fornication mean? Sex out of marriage. And I'm like, dude, stop playing. You talk to the other guy. Conspiracy. I'm not going for that. You're not going to run game on me, buddy. I run game on people. You're not going to run game on me. So I go to the library. Guess what happens? I got convicted. The dictionary. Big conspiracy. Webster and my two friends in prison. No! You know? And then guess what? I said, Lord, I need a wife. Because I'm going to commit sin if you don't give me a wife. Plain and simple. I know myself. You know? I said, Lord, I need a wife. And then he gave me a wife and 6 children. I got out of prison. I did all sorts of peon jobs, which was fine. I was happy. And I did it to my best, because God says, everything you do, do as unto the Lord. Correct? And I was the best busboy in the world. Clean tables like nobody. Threw out garbage like nobody. Clean bathrooms and floors like nobody. God blessed me. I got a job as a limo driver. A couple came in. They liked me. Said, I'll give you a job. I said, I'm a convict. I'm still in a work release program. He thought I was joking. He said, oh, you're a funny guy. I said, I'm not funny, bro. I'm in prison. You know what I'm saying? He goes, call me when you get out. I did. I got a limo job. Ended up, that guy gave me a business. I had like 40 employees. I did gym management, right, for high-rise fancy condos in South Beach. And I had 40 employees. I have everything, right? And then I tell the Lord, you know what, Lord? I want to give it back to you. That all this, there was something missing, right? And I knew that without God, I couldn't have had anything that I had, because I had attorneys working for me. I had people with college education. They would get mad and say, how does this dumb ex-convict is my boss? And I used to tell them, Jesus. Oh, I could do better than this guy. Yeah, I know everybody could do better than me, but you don't understand. Jesus is doing this thing. And they would hate it. They would get so mad. They tried to get me out of there for 7 years. I was there, and people constantly, every week, try to get me out of there. Every week. They didn't like me very much. I played worship songs in the gym. Like, really, really worship songs. Like, not, you know, those Christian band songs. It was like, blessed be the name of the Lord and everything. Got in trouble. They told me I was going to lose my contract. And, you know, I kept doing it. And it's just, God is an amazing God. So, abiding in the Lord is what's important. Once we're saved and we're Christians, we need to abide. Abide means stick around, stay around. And Lord, I pray that I could get this thing out there the way you want it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am. He's saying here that he's God. I am. God, that's what God said. I am. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it bear more fruit. Stop here quickly. Like this song said, we need Jesus every hour of our lives. We cannot, just because we get saved, you cannot think that you got it all together and you're going to heaven. We need him every second of our lives. For every decision in our lives, we need him. We need him. Because we're sinners and we have issues. Okay, we are saved, but there's a bunch of things in our life that need to be pruned. If you stick around and remain and abide, he will prune you. And pruning hurts because there's cutting, right? And yeah, it hurts. And then, oh, yeah, I get pruned a lot. Anyways, and then every fruit that does not bear a tree, he takes away, right? Fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. We know that the word of God cleanses us, heals us. The word of God God says in another verse, I don't remember, don't ask me where it is, but it says, renew your mind daily with the word of God. Because our mind is filthy. We see filth. We drive. We see signs. We see all sorts of stuff at work. We're with people. And we hear just not godly stuff. So God says, renew your mind daily with the word of God. And hearing the word of God, you are cleansed. And here's one of the examples that God says it. And then he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, I suppose everybody's a Christian here, right? That's awesome. Now, you think you could do something for God? You're wrong. You can't. You can't do anything for God. You know, and that's what we need to understand, that we need to abide in Him and use us. God uses donkeys, okay? Balaam's donkey, he's done that. He uses me, very close to Balaam's donkey. You know what I'm saying? But what's the importance is abiding in Him. And when we don't abide in Him, like that song said, we fall apart. We fall apart. You know, and then what happens when people say he's a Christian, but he's acting like that? Did anybody ever hear that? He's a Christian, and look at him, because we are not abiding. We get fleshy. You know, we do things in the flesh. We think, we act. And then what happens is, oh, we give Jesus a bad name. We don't glorify his name. We give him a bad name because we are not abiding in him. And he makes it very easy. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Let's stop right there. The whole thing about throwing in the fire, we know what that means. Some people come to Jesus when they're broken, they accept Jesus, and they run far away. They don't. It was like an emotional thing. Our walk with Jesus, if we depend on emotions, we're done. We need to just know and know that He said it, and that's it. Doesn't matter how you feel that day. Because sometimes I don't feel very good about myself. Sometimes I don't feel very godly. You know, and sometimes I don't like people. How about that? Well, what happens then when I don't like someone? You know what I'm saying? I need to abide in Him. It doesn't matter how my emotions tell me how I should act. Because if I listen to my emotions, oh gosh, it'd be a mess. This world would be an ugly place. Because I just add on garbage. Or I die, one or the other. You know what I'm saying? It's not about our emotions. It's what God says. We need to have faith in God and not in ourselves. You know, a lot of people say, I'm going to be a Christian 10 years. Yeah, I'm doing good. Boy, you're so stupid. You're not doing good. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You know, it does not matter how long you've been a Christian. The devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? And if you think you're on it, you're not. You know, pride comes before the fall. You could be walking with Jesus 40 years. I see him fall all the time. Because pride kicks in. Pride comes before the fall. And then what? What happened to your 40 years walk? You know what I'm saying? You just hit the floor hard right now. And then what? You know, you shame his name, and then you make a lot of people stumble, you know? And then people don't want to come to Jesus because you were prideful and you slipped. You got caught slipping because you weren't abiding in him. It's very easy to happen. It happens all the time. Very, very easy. We need accountability. We need this, of course, you know, but we need to be accountable one another, pray with one another, stick close to one another, and you know, help one another, encourage one another to have this walk, or else we're in a lot of trouble. We won't make anything good happen. Now, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, we ask God for stuff. There's another verse. Don't ask me where it's at, but I do remember it. It says, you ask, but you're not received because you ask to spend it on yourself. You know, James. Here we go. Now, you want to spend it on yourself. God says that He'll do anything if we ask. But why are we asking? Is it to glorify His name, or is it for our own pleasure, for our own ego, for what is it? What is it for? And everything we ask God for should be to glorify His name for whatever it is. You know, if it's going to glorify his name, ask and he will do. Because then his name will be glorified. Because you're going to tell everybody, you're going to see his power, his hand move, and then his name will be glorified. Not yours. Not yours. Some people think that missionaries are very spiritual people. You know that? No. People, I had this lady ask me to pray for her in the church, my home church. And I said, you know he's your father too, right? You don't need to ask me to pray for you. Can you bless me? Bless you? I could get you in a lot of trouble if you want. How am I going to bless you? God blesses. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's there is no difference between a pastor, a missionary, or you. You understand? There is no difference. And I'm boggled by these people thinking, man, he's a missionary. He must have this faith. Nah, it's not that. It's I got beat down. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of getting beat down. I surrender! Just like the police. The police used to come. Well, I shouldn't say that because I never surrendered. I ran. I had a rabbit in me. I see jackrabbits here jumping around. They got no jump on me. I used to run faster than any of these rabbits. I really did. I did a little rabbit. I said, they ain't got no jump. Oh, gosh, forget it. The police came. I ran, and I ran fast. I zigzagged. I knew because I might get shot, so I zigzagged. I didn't just run straight. Especially messing around with people like Juno, that boy, they could shoot. Pastor Juno could shoot. I went shooting with him. I had the privilege to go shooting with him yesterday. He took me out, and I said, oh, gosh, that's pretty good. I hit the paper. Yeah. So as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Do you understand the abiding process? Abiding means stick around, stay close to. We cannot, right, step away from Jesus. Because that's destruction. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how mature you are in Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you know the Bible. You know, I know people that know the Bible in their heads. I mean, they could go back and forth in numbers and chapters and verses and everything. That means nothing. It sounds good. I wish I could do it, but I can't. I mean, I say, wow, I wish I had that kind of memory. But I think God keeps me this way so He could use me more. Because if I didn't, imagine if I remembered everything. I probably think, wow, man, I'm bad to the bone. Look at this. I remember everything. Yeah, what's up? Can you do that? Cool verses in the Bible, huh? Yeah. All right. So after I get out of prison, I get married, I have a bunch of kids. The Lord sends me to Brazil. 2007, I take a trip to Brazil. Always seeking Him and everything. My pastor, Robert Found, goes with me, and the Lord starts opening up doors in Brazil. You know, my first mission trip was in 2004. It was to Peru. I came back. I said, man, I want to live like a missionary. This is real. And my pastor said, yeah, whatever. Go to work. You know, because you get very emotional on a mission trip. Things happen. God does stuff. And you're like, wow, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? And then a lot of times it's emotional. So He wanted to put me in check to make sure it wasn't emotional. It was a God thing. Very wise man. My pastor, Robert Found. I got another pastor. I have a lot of pastors. I have three pastors. You know that? God knows what He does. I need a lot of pastors. So, and then what happens? In 2011, we make the move to Brazil. We have been going since 2007. We opened up a surf school with the intent to teach the Bible, and that's all that happened. All of a sudden, we have 130 kids, and pride got in the heart of the local there, and he started having money. It's in the slums. I work in the northeast of Brazil. It's all slums. Crime rate is, in my city, they kill about 150 to 250 people a day, homicides. They're usually all minors. You know, I just lost 8 kids in 6 months. The eldest was 16 years old, 5 shots to the face. They love doing that. They love putting fear, right? So God told me we're going to work with children. We're like, this is awesome. He didn't tell me they were little demon children, okay? Because these kids are little demons, okay? We get there. There's a problem. The guy had fell in sin. I try to correct him. He bucked the system. He didn't want to do it. So I told him, I'm out of here, bro. I'm done. And God, you know, I started asking God, now what? I moved to Brazil with my family, Lord. I gave up everything in America, and I don't even have a ministry down here. I mean, what's up with that? There's something wrong here. You know what I'm saying? But God in His sovereign being sovereign the way he is, he had a better plan, and he started opening up doors. He kept me in that slum, and he has me working in another two slums, and I need to slow down, like Pastor JK said, because the devil also puts more stuff in your way so you could distract from spending time with the Lord, and that's what's been happening with me. I've been so busy in the ministry, my time with the Lord has been suffering, and I thank God for this month of refreshment that I'm here in the U.S., you know, to just like pray and get grounded again. So when I go back, I need to be very careful. And JK had mentioned that months ago to me. You got to be careful because the enemy tried to take us down very hard. We had dengue fever. I lost 30 pounds. My wife was pregnant. She had it. All my kids had it. We looked like Ethiopians. We were all shriveled up like raisins, right? We had bronchitis. We had blood infection. My fourth kid stayed in the hospital on his third birthday for 3 days on IVs and all steroids and stuff. We got beat down a lot. And then we got beat down financially. It was so many beat downs. They were like, oh gosh, you know, now what? So we just kept on. We said, Lord, we know you're in control, so do this thing. And that's when Pastor Juno told me that you got to be careful because now he'll start throwing stuff for you to do ministry. So your time with Jesus lacks. And then what? And then you're doing work in the flesh, and then you're not listening to God. And that's very dangerous. It happens a lot. In a place like I am, it's so needy, that you do. I'm a doer. I want to do. I want to help. I want to go. And what happens is, you're not abiding. You know, you're not abiding. And that's one of the things that God has convicted me with, you know, I need to spend more time with Him. I need to abide in Him more. You know, because I know I can't do anything, especially where I'm at. You know, kids carry pistols, and they shoot everybody. The average age, 13, 14 years old, they've murdered 4 or 5 people already. You know, they ask me, Pastor, am I going to hell? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to hell. And then they're like, look at me crazy. I said, oh man, I'm about to get shot. and then I get reminded, it's okay if I get shot because he's doing me a favor. He can't really do nothing to me if he shoots me. If I die, I'm going to heaven. So that comforts me a lot. Anyways, so can we get some pictures up now? This is Sunday service. I hold a Sunday service at 5 p.m. on the beach. It's wide open and it's pretty cool because in this Sunday service, there's a bridge on this side that people walk around and everything. And people have gotten saved there and have gotten doors open to other slums. We could go ahead into the other picture. This is a street dweller. He got into a fight. He smokes crack. They live in the street by the church over there. And that's one of the ministries that I work a lot with, the homeless crack users. He got bit in the arm. He almost lost his arm. Thank God. God spared his arm twice because it was the size of his leg, blue pussing coming out. So this is in the hospital. He just had a plastic operation prior to me coming here. And this is the thing about loving these guys. I know this guy for 3 years since I moved there. The first street guy that I met. Never wanted to come to church. Said, the hell with it. I like it. I don't care about Jesus. I don't care about nothing. Guess what happened? When people break, who do they come to? They might cuss you out. They might say whatever to you. But when they break, when they need help, they'll come to the Christian that they cussed out and that they didn't like and that they called us crazy. So he came to me, Pastor, I want help. Can you help me? I said, sure. You know, let's do it. Let's do this thing. And I work with drug treatment homes that allow me to take these guys and they don't charge me anything, like $25 a month or $30 a month. This is Oitão Preto. This is one of the slums. A lot of thugs get saved here. It's amazing. This is where the surf school used to be. I no longer associate myself with the surf school, but I have God put me there in that slum and has given me authority there. It's amazing because people like respect me more than they respect the local that was doing all that stuff and fell into sin and everything. And a lot of gangsters get saved here. If we could go forward. This is Marivaldo, and this is Madrugada. Madrugada means from midnight to 5 in the morning, or we are at the time of the hours. Gangsters. Their gang ran the other gang out of the slum and took over the drug trade. Marivaldo got saved about a year and a half, works for the city now, and he only goes to the Bible study. He will not go to church, but he will be there on Friday night, Friday lunch Bible study. The other guy was walking by one day, and he came in. After 4 weeks, I asked him, who invited you? What are you doing here? Do you like it here? And he goes, yeah, I like it here. I feel at peace. And I said, really? Who invited you? No, I just walking by one day and I saw you guys and I walked in. And I said, really, that's pretty cool. And he goes, so what's your story? Well, I mean, you feel at peace. You don't have peace out of here? He goes, no. They killed my brother-in-law And he started telling me the whole story. And he's been hunting for these guys in other slums. 3-4 days a week they go out and in a car hunting for the guys that killed his brother-in-law. And I said, if you want peace forever, bro, I'm not saying no problems. God never promises no problems. He promises peace beyond our understanding. That when all hell's breaking loose, we're chilling. We're saying, Lord, I can't do anything about it. Can you help me out here? Can you handle this? Because I can't. I will fold under this pressure. But you will give me that peace to just maintain in His love and wait for Him to handle the situation. And that's what he felt there. That's what he felt there. He gave his life to Jesus that same day. I said, Lisa, peace forever is Jesus. Now he comes to the Bible studies. He got himself a job. He stopped selling drugs and hunting the guys that killed his brother-in-law. So God does some crazy stuff. Like he just brought him there. Nobody even invited this guy. The Holy Spirit just brought him there and sat him there. These guys, I have a problem here. Because they won't go to church. They will not. They will only go to that Bible study. There's a good local church. Sometimes I try to plant people in their local community churches. Because I don't care. If they want to come to my church, fine. I love that. But hey, for the sake of that soul, I'll send them to another church, you know, that's a Bible teaching church. I don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? But they won't go. They will only go to that Bible study. Praise God. This is called ICT, Intensive Christian Training. It's our Bible study, Thursday nights. It's more in-depth. You know, we talk, everybody reads, and we learn. And it's pretty cool. We have cakes and coffee that night. And this is a Tuesday night, horrible picture, oh gosh. Tuesday night Bible study by where I live now. The lady that went to help us at the house for like 3 months, 3 times a week, just to help us clean a little bit after we had our sixth baby. She was pregnant. She goes, I could only do it for 3 months. We said, okay, help us out. And then she gets saved while she's working for us. How did that happen? Because we are abiding. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we abide in Christ. And guess what? This lady gets saved after a month working for us. And we're like, cool. And then guess what? She asked me, can you please go do a Bible study in my house? And of course I prayed. I said, I don't know. My time is already kind of tight. Anyway, we started a Bible study there at her house. And it's still going. And the thing is, you know, all this, who did all this? God did it. Because I have no clue what I'm doing. I really don't. No, I'm serious. People look at me sometimes when I go to my home church, you know, and then, you know, there's a church in Boston that helps us out, you know, too. And they're like, they think like I have answers. And I'm saying, what is wrong with you people? You people stupid? I have answers. I could get you in a whole lot of trouble. I got the hustle on. I know how to plot evil. Yeah, do you want to plot evil with me? We could do this thing. You know, we could really ruin our lives together. God has answers. We need to abide in Him. My time is running out. Right? So now, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. And then James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. These two verses, if we don't abide in Him, we will not be able to live. Because today there's a movement called acceptance. Everything goes. We as Christians need to abide to be able to withstand what's coming at us nowadays. And this is worldwide. If we don't abide in Jesus, right, we will break, we will fall, we will stumble. And we will be left behind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because right now, there's this movement about politically correctness or whatever, however you say that. I told you I can't even speak properly. But anyways, the thing is, we need not be politically corrected. We need to abide and abide in love, and we need to be in prayer all the time because the world is coming at us. We're in the end times. I mean, there's no more prophecy to be fulfilled. They're all fulfilled, you know, and we're just waiting for the Father to say, go get my sons, my daughters, you know, raptured. It's just, it could happen today. It could happen today. And the whole thing with the abiding with God is if we don't abide, if we're not very close to Him, we will break in pressure of the world. You know what happens? People ask me all the time, you know, am I going to hell? Yep, you're going to hell. Ah! They get all horrified. I say, yeah, bro, that's what the Bible says. You know, we're all going to hell. Plain and simple, all of us. And then we tell them about God's love. People ask me, oh, gay marriage, what do you think about gay marriage? I said, well, the Bible says it's Adam and Eve, buddy, not Adam and Steve. And, you know, oh, but wait a minute, I was born gay. And I hear, I worked in South Beach. I worked with a lot of gay clients. And I love them. I invited them to my house and everything. Only told them, I used to tell them like this, listen, I got boys. No gay stuff in front of my boys. Do you understand that? Because I'll beat you. They go, you crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. I'm serious, bro. I love you. I don't care about your sexual preference. And they tell me, oh, you know what? But I was born gay. And I said, okay, I understand and I believe it. I was born a criminal. How about that? Oh, no, you weren't born a criminal. Nobody's born a criminal. Society messed you up, this messed you up, this you up. Okay, so you weren't born gay then. Because if you were born gay, I was born a criminal, buddy. You see where I'm getting at? We're born sinners. What you're doing is a product of your sin. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's you're a criminal or a liar, or if even if you don't do anything bad, even if you just think it, you're already a sinner. You hear what I'm saying? But we cannot not tell the truth. And Jesus said, everything we do with love. What does love look like? You know what love looks like? To me? You could talk to me any kind of way. Pastor Jack said he was going to beat me repeatedly, shoot me. I love that. That's my language, my love language. It really is. Beat me repeatedly, punch me in the mouth. I love that. You know why? Because that's my love language. Okay? I'm dead serious. I say, I can't wait till I hang out with him. Because I met him 3 years ago. I never hung out with him. I can't wait till I go to Arizona. Now, every person's different. And when we go, share the gospel, the good news, right? We got to pray. We have to pray. How does that person understand the love language? Because I can't talk to people. You know what I tell people sometimes? Listen, you scumbag. Yeah, I'm serious. Where I work, they understand that. They respect me. They love it. And then they know that I love them. Yeah, they really do. They respect me. They know I love them. But I can't say that to everybody. Imagine if I said talk that way to everybody. No. So you have to pray and ask God, how is He going to interpret love? How do I have to speak to Him? How do I have to speak to Him? Do you understand what I'm saying? But we cannot be politically correct. The truth needs to go out. The truth is Jesus on the cross, resurrected, loves you. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. That is the truth. There is no other way. Politically correctness, you know what? If you're politically correct, you know what you're doing? You're putting people in the risk of burning in hell forever. How about that one? How about that one? That's what you're doing. Oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Sure, send him to hell. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but hurt his soul forever. Hello? It's not about hurting people's feelings. It's about saving that soul forever. Let God use you, but you need to abide in Him. You really need to abide in Him. It's time, baby. Let's pray. 2:59. Lord, we come to You in the name of Jesus, Father. And Father, I just pray for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit on all of us, Lord. Because without You, we fall apart, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be politically correct. We want to be Jesus correct. Lord, we want to preach the gospel, salvation, the good news, with love, Lord. Help us to share the gospel with love towards each individual according to the way they understand love, Lord. And Lord, help us to abide in You. Remind us how important it is to stay very close to You, surrounding You, by You all the time, Lord, with our Christian brothers and sisters in church, during the week, reading the Word and praying more, Lord, so we could be guided by You 100%, Lord. Help us all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right.